We rise. As we reflect on that name given to the child by his parents, Joseph and Mary, we remember the name which really has existed since time began, the name that was given and placed upon the children of Israel, and which also is placed upon us today, is the name of the Lord. We read from Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of God. Let us pray. O Father, bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the only name under heaven by which we are saved, in the name of Jesus, dear fellow children of God, actions speak louder than words, right? We much prefer action to empty words. Sure, nice words are pleasant, a good poem, a kind saying. But when it comes down to it, there are times when words just aren't enough, and we need to see action. Sometimes words are thrown around so uselessly that they become meaningless. How many New Year's resolutions will people actually follow through on this year? The world over, how many will actually take action on what they're committed to? A drastic change in the life. Some great resolution is made, only to see another year pass by and realize nothing has really changed. Words wasted on the whims of the world. Yes, actions speak louder than words. But not always. There are some words that we speak that actually accomplish something. They're performative words. When a captain smashes a champagne bottle over the bow of his ship and he says, "I christen this ship," it's doing something. Or when a king taps a sword on the shoulder of the young and brave man and he says, "I dub thee a knight," it's doing something. Or when a minister says, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," it's doing something. There are some words that actually perform the thing we're saying. And even in a much greater way, is this true? When the minister raises his hands and says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Words speak action. When it is the word of the Lord, it is a performative statement. It's doing something. It's more than a good poetry or a kind word. It's more than words that are wasted on the whims of the world. This is the word of the Lord. When God tells Aaron, the high priest, and all of the other priests to speak the blessing to the children of Israel, it is actually accomplishing what God has promised. It is speaking a blessing into being. Let's consider your name which you were given at birth. It's what identifies you, it's a special thing, but what does it mean? How many of you actually know what your name means? Maybe you don't know at all. In fact, many parents today name their children more for the way the name sounds than what the name actually has some sort of meaning to it. Others name their children because of someone in the family, a grandparent or an uncle or aunt that you're naming them after. But if we go back far enough, we find a different practice. At the time of Jesus, they would actually name the child based on the circumstances in which that baby was born. So the name Adam means earth, because the first human being was created from the dust of the earth. And Abraham was given his name because he was going to be the father of many nations. Abraham means many nations, or excuse me, means father of many. So some names mean something, and it was tradition then in Jesus' day to name based on the circumstances in which the child was born. For boys, this was the day of circumcision, the eighth day after birth. That was the day when they received their name and were made part of the covenant. Circumcision was the rite of passage into the fellowship of God's people. It was on the eighth day after birth when the child would be circumcised and he would become a part of God's family. In a way, that name was speaking a blessing into being. It was a resolution that God made to welcome his children into his family and mark them as his own special people, descendants of Abraham, and carrying on the lineage of the Messiah. The problem is that while God has his resolution, we're often making our own. We take the words of God's covenant and try to make them into something that we are going to do, or we are going to accomplish, a resolution for our life about how we're going to be blessed. We imagine 2015 as a new year, a year where things are going to be different, a year where things are going to change. We think that if we can just change things a little on the outside, then we'll be blessed. If we find the right house, if we find the right spouse, if we find the right job, things could be a little better. If we get up a little earlier, if we keep our house clean more, if we stick to a budget, things will be a little better. If we stop talking to that person, if we stop smoking, if we stop drinking, things could be a little more blessed. If we can straighten out our life, then God will bring us his blessing. But these are words wasted on the whims of the world. This is the way the world talks. They're empty words, and they don't deal with the true problem. And the problem is that we are cursed. Our words are cursed. Our promises are cursed. Our resolutions are cursed. We carry around that old name of Adam. Nothing more than dirt, flesh, which will fail. As much as we might change things here and there in the new year, we can't change what's within us. We cannot make a resolution to stop lusting, or stop hating, or stop being bitter, or stop wanting to gossip, or stop wanting to have our brother's things, or stop wanting to be unsatisfied with God, or stop wasting time on ourselves. And before we know it, another year passes by, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed until the eighth day after Christmas, that is. Because it was on the eighth day that God would change something in his own resolution, and he would have his son circumcised. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. It was a resolution of God to bring a new day, a new year to you, to take you out of the old whims of the world and place you into his blessing, make you part of his holy people, to bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, God resolves to become man, to become flesh and bleed for us, even as an infant. 8 days old, God was already under the law that he had given, the law that he had given to Abraham in order that he might shed his holy precious blood for us. On the cross, God is lifting up his face, lifting up his countenance upon us and bringing us peace. By this, we have a new name, a name where we are now called children of God. This is what gives the blessings we seek here in church their power. The face of God shines upon us in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord commands us to speak this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This was God's resolution, a word which meant something. He fulfilled all that we failed to do. All the time we resolved to do better and didn't. All the times we determined to change but did not. All the times we promised to become better people but fell short. Jesus succeeded. He spoke a word that meant something. As Paul writes in Galatians, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. This is our new name, our new resolution, our new year. But it doesn't have to do with our commitment or our resolve. It has to do with God speaking his blessing. Baptism is the new way of entrance into fellowship with God's people. Jesus' circumcision marked the end of the old year, the time of the first covenant, the cutting of the flesh, and the beginning of a new year, where we now receive the Spirit through the water, where God now makes us part of his fellowship through the spoken word. He forgives all our sins and places the name of Jesus upon us. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I remember my pastor saying, it's never too late to come to church. What he meant was, even if you arrive at 9:45 and we're just saying the Lord's Prayer, you've had a late start to the morning and you just get in the door, you're still not too late. And that's because we've saved the blessed for last. The word benediction is Latin for blessing. And this event in the service is more than just saying the end. When we say the benediction, something is happening. When God speaks through the pastor, he is actually giving you that blessing he has promised. His son, his grace and peace. He sends you off into 2015 with his face shining upon you. He sends you out of every worship service with his grace and his peace. And that's why our resolutions as Christians are more than just once a year. They're more than just we fail, we try to do better. They're every day. They're every day we repent. And every service we come and receive that blessing again, God sends us out with his resolution to be his children. Actions speak louder than words. And yet God has done both. He's gone into action in the naming of Christ Jesus, his own son, given for us on the cross and raised for the dead. But he's also spoken. He's spoken to us in baptism, and he's spoken to us in this service of the word. He won't waste his words on the whims of the world, but when he speaks, his word performs. These are words that speak a blessing into being, and we can take God's word for it. Amen.